It's nice being in the room with you, Kit.
It's really nice being in the room with you, Jill.
You know, it's nice that we have the technology that we can record in distant places and then bring it all together for people to see. But I know that for me, the gift of your voice and the piano, the vibration of all that, the love and the intention of all that touches me deeply. And I'm so glad that that for all of us that bring this service to you, our combined efforts, our combined selves are greater than the sum of our parts.
Yes,
we're drawing forth that which is greater, and I'm so grateful.
Me too.
Love you.
Love you too.
So the title of today's talk, as you saw, is Strong Back, Soft Front, Wild Heart. This phrase is probably familiar to you if you studied with us Brené Brown's book, Dare to Lead. And the whole idea of that has stuck with me since I first heard the phrase and taught the course. And it's something that I keep returning to when I find myself getting a little too brittle. And for some reason, what kept coming to me as I was preparing to speak about this again today was the Fleetwood Mac concert that I went to a few years ago. And I hope there's some of you out there going, yay, Fleetwood Mac, because I was going, yay, Fleetwood Mac, the whole time I was at the concert. And there was Stevie Nicks on stage, and I believe she's now 70. And she still wears those high-heeled platform boots and her gypsy clothes, and she still twirls around on the stage like she did 40 years ago. And I remember having a big aha moment during that ecstatic concert, thinking, you know, if Stevie Nicks can battle all kinds of addictions and win, if she can go through all the things she's gone through in her life, which is not easy for somebody who lives a rock and roll life, if she can go through all that and stand on stage and dance around in platform high-heeled boots at the age of 70, then by golly, I'm going to start doing that kind of stuff. There's nothing that's going to hold me back. So today I'm wearing pink stuff. I don't know if you can see it, but I got on pink shoes too. Because pink. And I just got this piece of jewelry the other day. It's a big old peace sign. And so, yeah, I'm going to go back to the days where everything I could wear had a peace sign on it. And I'm going to wear my peace sign every day that I can. Because I can. And I tell the story about Stevie Nicks because that woman has got a strong back. She's gone through a lot of stuff. And she's got a soft front because you can hear it when she sings. You can hear it in the grace with which she's allowed her voice to age and still just bring it. And you know she's got a wild heart because that's who she's always been. Except now that wild heart has seen the worst and the best, and it brings its brokenness and its wholeness in her performance. I don't know her personally, but I can't think that she's that much different from the interviews that I've seen. She's got that. And that's the example that just kept coming back to me, was that moment of realizing that each of us can be whoever we want to be, as long as it's authentic, as long as we're not afraid to wear our scars and our battle wounds and our brokenness and our strength and like Ann said in our meditation today, all the stuff that's fallen away from us and broken off to leave the very best parts in place. So the whole idea of strong back, soft heart, soft front, wild heart is about the fully authentic life. So I'd like to read to you some words. Again, this is my last Sunday talk based on Brené Brown's book, Braving the Wilderness, which I think is probably one of my favorites now, like forever. And she was at a conference at the Omega Center in New York. I don't know that the Omega Center is still in operation, but she was there with Roshi Joan Halifax. Dr. Halifax is a Buddhist teacher, a Zen priest, an anthropologist, an activist, and an author of several books on enlightened Buddhism. And she said this: all too often, our so-called strength comes from fear, not love. Instead of having a strong back, many of us have a defended front, shielding a weak spine. In other words, we walk around brittle and defensive, trying to conceal our lack of confidence. If we strengthen our backs, metaphorically speaking, and develop a spine that's flexible but sturdy, then we can risk having a front that's soft and open. How can we give and accept care with strong back, soft front compassion, moving past fear into a place of genuine tenderness? I believe it comes about when we can be truly transparent, seeing the world clearly and letting the world see into us. Not just see us, see into us. So we need courage, we need vulnerability. We sometimes have to abandon the certainty and the safety of these ideological bunkers that we live in and head out into the wilderness, like I've been talking about this month. We can spend our life betraying ourselves and choosing fitting in over standing alone. But once we've stood up for ourselves and our beliefs, the bar is higher. A wild heart fights fitting in, and it grieves betrayal. So we don't want to betray our own hearts. You know, my friends, we don't. We want to be true to who we are, and sometimes that's hard, and sometimes it requires of us to abandon that which we might have held on to for a long time, thinking that it was true. I've heard a lot of people say in the last few years that they'd like America to return to the way it was when they were young. And it's easy for us, any of us, all of us, to idealize something in the past. Our childhood, a former relationship, a place, a way of being. But that can become so crystallized in our memory that we forget the whole of the picture. So I was born in the 50s, a child of the 50s, a child of parents that were children during World War II. And you look back now, for instance, at the magazine ads and the television shows of the 50s. Oh my gosh. What seemed kind of normal then seems so alien now. I do put on an apron every now and then, but it's because I'm washing my dog. Not because I'm making a meal for the family. I do cook, but the whole idea of, you know, apron and pearls, You know, that was great for Mrs. Cleaver, but it wasn't even my mom. You know? I don't want to return to a time that might be idealized for me because I grew up as a white child in a middle-class family. I mean, things were tight for us, but we weren't in poverty. And I had no conscious awareness of how difficult it was for other people that were not like me. And so, if we had a chance to go back to the 50s or the early 60s, no thank you. No. Because, yeah, there were some things that were good. There was an innocence about it. But there was also a blindness. And we can't afford to be blind to anything. Sometimes, we talked about this Wednesday night in class, sometimes I think we're afraid to see and feel reality because we don't know if we can take it. We don't know if we're going to like the feelings that we have about it. We don't know if the feelings are going to overwhelm us and break us. I can guarantee you they will not. What will break us is not feeling it, is not seeing it. And beloved, if we're going to live what we believe and teach here at Unity of Wimberley and at New Thought Churches all over, if we're going to stand in that, then we can't be crystallized in anything. We have to live our lives naked. And the paradox of that, and we have to live in this paradox, we must live in this paradox. It doesn't make sense to us because we're taught left and right and wrong, black and white. But the truth is, the only thing that's solid is the truth with a capital T. Everything else is this gray area that's not really gray. It's just the realm of possibility. It is living from moment to moment to moment and having the strength, having that strong back to know that we can walk into life and look at it with open eyes and see. And let ourselves be seen into, as Roshi Jones says, to let ourselves be seen into just as we see into others. And we cannot see into others if we have on blinders of our own belief systems, of our own ignorance, of our own willful ignorance. Ooh, I hate to even talk about that. But if we're going to live as spiritual warriors in this world, we cannot be warlike. There's a paradox for you. We can be passionate. That's part of our strong back. But understanding that others don't share our passion, that's part of our soft front. And our wild heart says, this is important. I've seen the brokenness, I've felt the brokenness, and I am alive in it. Our hearts, when they've gone to the wilderness, can't ever not know what the wilderness was like. And it will hold on to that wildness, and I equate that wildness with knowing fear and standing in the face of it. I had a dream last night. I had a dream that I think must have been a divine visitation for this talk today. I dreamed I was watering someone's garden beside their house. And I got to the wildest part of the garden, and there was a big snake, like huge. And I never can remember the difference between an albino python and a yellow boa constrictor. But at this point in the dream, it didn't really matter. Because at its biggest circumference, it was about this big around. It was a big old snake, long, like 15 feet long. And I thought, okay, if I just back away from this snake very, very slowly, maybe it won't see me and bother with me because I'm too big for it to eat. And the snake saw me. And we had a moment when it looked at me and I looked at it and it was game on. And even though the snake knew that it couldn't conquer me, it came after me. And I almost panicked in the dream. But what I kept doing was just removing its body from mine. Every place that it tried to hold on to me, I just kept wriggling, relaxing my body so that I could get away from the grip of the snake, from it trying to find a way to constrict me until I could get in my car and get rid of the last piece and slam the door shut. And I woke up. No, I didn't wake up. I went to tell somebody about it. And they said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "I think I am, but my back hurts." So I pulled up my shirt and I had bruises on my back. They didn't hurt. Not that bad. Not like they could have. I knew something wasn't right, but they were just bruises. So, like Jacob wrestling with an angel, I guess I wrestled with this snake and said, "We're not going to let go of each other until I get a blessing." And the blessing was that I prevailed. And what's the saying? And still, she prevailed. Because there I stood face to face with something big and scary. And it didn't leave me alone. But I got out of it. I kept my wits about me. And I had some bruises. But by golly, I was okay. I had that dream just last night. Actually, I had that dream, what's it, 11:30 now? That would have been at about less than 8 hours ago. I had that dream. I wasn't going to tell that dream today because I didn't think it was that important. Silly me. It's okay for us to let life do what it will with us. Because it is an illusion and a fantasy to think that we know the outcomes of everything. It's an illusion and a fantasy to think that our best laid plans are always going to come true because you know how the rest of that sentence goes. So what we're doing is having the courage, the softness, the vulnerability in front of us to just walk into life and say, okay, whatever is next, bring it. Okay, I'm ready. You may break me for a few minutes, but I'm coming back. Yeah, I am. And not coming back with this kind of, you know, I'll get you kind of energy. But more, I accept. I accept. And right now we're living in a time in which it's difficult for us to balance everything. It's difficult for us to balance safety and loneliness with trying to find a cure for our loneliness and still trying to be safe and missing our loved ones and being making daily decisions. Yesterday, my boys were cooking in the kitchen, And about three times a week, they prepare meals for themselves. We get one of those meal kits, and they are fine cooks. I mean, they do it. And so yesterday, David was getting ready to chop up some garlic. He said, "Man, I don't want this all over my hands." Alex said, "Well, put on some gloves." And David said, "Well, I just happen to have one here in my back pocket." He wasn't sure how it got there. But it was like, here comes life, and here's the glove to protect me. I know that's kind of a silly example, but we had a good laugh over it. Because we always have the protection and the safety of our indwelling Christ Spirit all the time. That's our safety net. That's the soft place to land. Even when it feels like we're hitting really hard. In fact, we are resilient. Beloved, I've had to talk about some hard things with people this week. About how we take the high road in our lives when it's much easier just to go with the flow and to stay with the lowest common denominator. But that's not what we're about. You see, the world is a reflection of the parts of us that are not yet healed. And so every place that we see hatred, it's because there's still a little bit of hatred left in us. And every place that we see closed-mindedness, it's because we have a little bit of that in us too. Every place that we see someone who will not let us get close to them, where they have constructed a wall around themselves, it's because we still have maybe a little bit of the ruins of a wall in our hearts. And so we're responsible because we're awake. And I know that there's a phrase out there right now that's getting overused. Oh, they're so woke. But go ahead and be woke. Be awake to that in you which is still being healed and made whole, because that's our destiny. And see it in the world and bring peace to it wherever you can. Wherever you can. There's a bad intersection near where I live in which the timing on the lights isn't right and the city hasn't fixed it yet. And sure enough, there was an accident this week that could have been much worse than it was. Just to see the photos of the accident and know about how many emergency vehicles were there. It was bad. And hopefully this will get the city's attention and they'll come and fix the timing on the lights. But the neighbor that was writing about it on our next door app ended her recounting of the story. She was there just as the accident ended. She stayed with one of the people until the ambulance came, and the injuries weren't serious, but they did need to be checked out. And she talked about all the different people, from teenagers to a veterinarian to neighbors to everybody, who stopped to look after those who had potentially been hurt or killed. And she was so touched by the generosity of spirit of all these people who were there to help, to hold the hands of those who had just gone through something not very pleasant. That's how she ended it, I'm so grateful, and I wish that the parents of these young people knew how lovely their kids were to do what they did. And you see, these people, these little angels, they won't get credit for that from anybody else except that neighbor who said, "Yay for you." But they will have in their hearts that moment where they overcame their fear, their shock, their whatever, to be with another human being in a time of crisis. And it seems that sometimes that's what we need, is crisis in order to draw close to each other. Oh, beloved, we're in an extended crisis right now. And we can't draw as close to each other as we would like physically, but we must draw close to each other, and I know I'm speaking about this every Sunday, but we must draw close to each other in our hearts, in the extension of ourselves. You saw my letter that I sent out about social media. It's a reflection of us. How are we going to show up there? We can't hide behind our screens and be something that we're not really in our hearts. And we can't let what goes on our screens be who we are, unless it's kind and thoughtful and helpful and beautiful. Oh, gosh. I have all these places marked to read to you. And yet, I'll remind you of what Maya Angelou said. "I'm part of this Wild Heart Club. I know what it means to stand alone and brave the criticism, fear, and hurt. I know the freedom of belonging everywhere and nowhere at all. The reward is great, but when I say the price is high, I'm not kidding." We can make this journey, my friends, and have the scars to prove it. We can't let people take our vulnerability. We can't let people fill us with their hate because we've turned our lives over to them. We're no longer our own people. And the other thing that's important for us that Brené Brown talks about here is that we also have to embrace joy. And just because there's suffering elsewhere doesn't mean that we can't have joy right here and now, because our joy contributes to the wholeness of the world. And we know our true joy because we've known our true sadness. And a demonstration of our true joy lets others know, yes, we've been to the wilderness. We know what it looks like. And we know that this is another part of it. They share the same table like the prophet Khalil Gibran. Joy and sorrow. So, beloved, I guess if I leave anything with you today, be with us on Wednesday night, if you will. We're going to talk about this chapter in depth. It's so much rich material, and it's so important for right now. But if I can leave you with anything today, it's to let yourself be open to life. Let that which has wounded you strengthen your spine and keep it flexible. Let that not become such a strong back that it makes you brittle in the front too. Let this be soft. Let your heart be open. Let your heart reflect the journey that you've had. We don't have to hide our sorrow and our pain from anyone. It informs us of who we are and where we've been. And our vulnerability, our open hearts, our wild hearts, our soft fronts allow other people to have theirs too. It's amazing when someone goes through a crisis and then they just kind of accidentally, coincidentally, who knew, run into somebody who's had the very same experience, and sharing that experience with each other strengthens both of them. I have a familiar relationship with all the sisterhood of women who've had breast cancer. We know what it feels like to get stripped all the way down to nothing and come back up again. And every one of you has a story in which you thought life would break you, but it didn't. It didn't. And so, beloved, as we go into our meditation this day, I'm just going to ask you to recall those times when your sorrow or your anxiety or your disappointment, your sadness, your fear, when you thought it was the 30-foot wave that was going to wash you out to sea. I want you to recall that time. And I want you to notice that you're still standing on the beach. And the ocean now is just wave after wave after wave. Coming in this form that we identify as wave and then breaking, so that it is part of the ocean again. And then it comes in. And it's different, but it's still wave. And then it breaks down and it's the ocean again. That's what our lives are about. The waves. The moments of the sand shifting beneath our feet. And yet we find a way to be steady. As you remember that part of yourself today, I want you to remember that painful time with gratitude, because it has shaped you and formed you, and it has allowed you to become the more authentic person that you are today. So just breathe into it. Just breathe. And if you find that tears fall, know that they are tears that cleanse you. And when you walk out there in the world and you see strangers whose faces are half hidden by masks, know that behind every single pair of eyes you see is a story. And you don't have to know their story to embrace them in your heart as part of the one. You see, beloved, we're moving. We're shifting. It's not just a spiritual life that we're living. It's becoming a mystical life in which the unseen is as vital and important as the seen. And in the song of every bird is the voice of God. And in the slightest breeze is the breath of God. And in every pair of eyes is the reflection of God life. It's not about the way they look. It's about the way we see. Breathe, just keep breathing. And notice if you're slumped over, go ahead, pull your shoulders back and down. Feel that strong back that has been shaped by your life. Become aware of your heart, your solar plexus, the whole front of you, soft and open right now. And beloved, if you can do it now in meditation, you can do it more and more in your daily living. You might want to say to yourself right now, I have a strong back. Just say it to yourself. I have a strong back. And right after that, I have a soft front. I have a soft front. My vulnerability makes me available to see and be seen. And oh, my heart is wild. It is wild and creative. It is vulnerable and strong. It is broken and it is whole. It is creative and accepting. It's adventurous because it has been places and seen things. And here I am, all of me. Breathe. And beloved, as we do every Sunday, draw into the circle of your life. Well, let's just skip right to the whole world and bring it in and bless it. And that means everyone, those we like and those we don't. We don't get to decide who deserves our prayer and who doesn't. We're on this one planet together, one people, speeding around in our solar system. A little dot in the universe. And yet, oh, so precious. Beloved, if you will, now open your eyes. Let's share a moment of seeing each other and knowing that our distance only separates us in space, but not in time and not in our hearts. Let's reach out our hands to each other. And say, I see you, beloved, and I love you. My brother, my sister, my companion on the journey, I see you. And now we let everything else that would trouble us just fall away. So that we can affirm, thank you. And so it is. Amen.